Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. We're asking questions. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? And that's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world, let's face it, don't know God for sure, and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around. There's a lot of bad news bears out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ and apply it into my daily living so that I can become light in this darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God making present His kingdom. Not someday, but today and every day. And that is what this show is all about. Looking forward to getting into it. But before we do, it's time for Viewer Mail. Our letter today coming from Stanley, and he's from Cleveland Heights, Ohio. Dear Father Chapin, I'm a 98-year-old person who has physical and health issues that make it very difficult for me to attend Mass. Thankfully, there's such a thing as TV Mass that comes with closed captioning. Prior to the Mass, I watched Daily Living, which also has closed captioning. Yes, that's true. It's available on every broadcast if you need it. I appreciate your analysis and interpretation of the Gospel. At home, hearing Mass and a homily works for me. I hope you will be able to continue financially with this programming. Your friend, Stanley. Well, thank you, Stanley. I really appreciate you writing in. What do you say we quiet our minds and put ourselves in the presence of God? We are hearing from the Gospel of Luke. The ruler sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now, one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Wow. This is Daily Living on Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about this Gospel and a few other things along the way here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living, and together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today, we come to a very dark place in Scripture. A small hill just outside of Jerusalem, Golgotha, the place of the skull, or the Latin, Calvary. And the Romans have erected three crosses. Jesus has been arrested on trumped-up charges. He's been tried by the Sanhedrin at night in a secret trial, totally against Mosaic law, by the way. And now he is hanging on a cross in agony, surrounded by two thieves. So today, I want you to try to put yourself in this awful scene. I want you to try to imagine that we are there, standing in front of these men who are dying the most agonizing death possible. Of course, there's many ways to die, but none more painful than crucifixion. Invented by the Persians somewhere between 400 and 300 BC, and later perfected by the Romans, it was a particularly painful way to die, and that, of course, was by design. Because, you see, crucifixion was not designed to kill you, at least right away. It was designed to maximize your suffering, maximize your humiliation, maximize your pain, and serve as a warning, a deterrent for all who pass by. You mess with Rome, this is what will happen to you. The victim was nailed to a cross, the cross was lifted up, and the suffering began. Now, the stronger ones could last for days, and often would, holding themselves up and out in order to breathe. But eventually, the battle against gravity is lost, and the weight of the body causes you to drop, and your lungs collapse, and you suffocate. And of course, if the soldiers got tired of waiting around, they would simply break your legs to hurry the process. An awful way to die. But of course, they did not have to break the legs of Jesus, because he had already been so severely beaten before he was crucified that he didn't last really long on the cross, about 6 hours. We read in the Gospel of Mark that he lasted from the third hour, which is 9 o'clock in the morning, to the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. Which, by the way, is why 3 o'clock in the afternoon is often referred to as the hour of mercy. But again, let's put ourselves into this awful scene. Everybody's standing around sneering and mocking at Jesus. Even the soldiers are jeering. So I have a question. Why? Where is all this hate coming from? Because it seems to me that this goes way beyond any misguided sense of justice. I mean, think about it. It's one thing to put a man to death, but it's quite another to sneer and mock as you're doing it. So again, why? Well, I think we find a clue in what happens just before our gospel today. Because as Jesus is hanging, bleeding, and dying in agony, he says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." What? Forgive us? Can you even imagine? Of course, we know that these religious leaders who are mocking him have been offended by Jesus for a very long time. This vagabond preacher, who seemed to have zero respect for Mosaic law, he certainly didn't seem to have any respect for them. But that wasn't their biggest problem. The biggest problem were the miracles. Because, my friends, there is nothing quite as stubborn as a good miracle. Because these miracles bring crowds. And the crowds are starting to listen to him. Even whispers of Messiah. So because of the crowds, they can't get to him. Not that they don't try. They go after him time and time again, trying to trip him up, trying to expose Jesus for the fraud they perceive him as being. But they seriously underestimated our Lord, because every trap they laid backfired. And he just made them look like the fools that they were. So, they came up with a plan. And it was a good plan. They accused him of sedition against Rome. And they laid that charge at the feet of Pilate, leaving Pilate with really two options only. Number one, he could say, "Hey, man, this is your problem. This has nothing to do with Rome. Just go away." And the Gospels make it very clear that this was his preference. But here's the problem. If he lets Jesus go, and later Jesus starts a revolt, it's going to make him look really bad. Because remember, as prefect from Rome, he really only has two things he has to do. Number one, he has to keep the taxes flowing. And number two, he has to keep the peace. And if he can't do those two things, he will be replaced. So, in a moment of self-preservation, he took the second option and gave them what they wanted, even though he knew the whole time he was being played. So the plan worked out perfectly for them. By getting Pilate to kill Jesus, they have created plausible deniability. But getting back to Jesus on the cross, he's bleeding, he's dying, he's suffering unspeakable pain. And from that unspeakable pain, he cries out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Which must have been like a dagger to the heart. And they sneer. Why? Because that's what truth does. When you're confronted with the truth, it's going to do one of two things. Either number one, it will convict you. Or number two, it's going to make you very angry. And usually that anger is directed towards the messenger of that truth. This is, of course, what's going on here. But even from the cross, Jesus continues to make them look like the fools that they are. So they sneer. They're angry. They're upset. What about you? What about me? What happens to us when Jesus shines the light of truth upon us? Does it convict us? Or do we get angry and sneer? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, and they sneer and they mock. He saved others. Let him save himself. If he is the chosen, the Son of God. Notice that word if. Same word Satan used in the desert. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off this temple. If, really. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back, and we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel here as we consider God's word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. If you go to the book of Exodus, you will read about the first Passover. God was delivering his people from the hands of Pharaoh. And he sent plagues over Egypt to try to convince Pharaoh to let his people go. He had sent 9 plagues, but Pharaoh was unmoved. But then came that 10th plague. The angel of death would fly over Egypt and kill every firstborn son. But before this angel of death came, God instructed Moses to tell his people to sprinkle the blood of a lamb on their doorposts, so that when the angel of death came and saw the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, it would pass over their homes. So the blood of the lamb protected them from the wrath of God. This was a prefiguration of what Jesus is doing for us today on the cross. Because Jesus is our Passover lamb, protecting us from God's wrath. Now, some might ask, well, why would God bring wrath? Well, I'll tell you why. Because of our sin. Because remember, the wages of sin is death. That's eternal law. Always was, always will be, period. And this is why we find Jesus hanging on the cross between two convicted thieves. One of those thieves reviled Jesus, crying out, "If you are who you say you are, save yourself and then save us." Yet the other thief on the other side rebukes him, saying, "Have you no fear of God?" Which I must say, that's a good question. And I must say in passing, if our world today was asked this question, the answer would be a resounding no. Because there is no fear of God in our world today. But getting back to this thief, the one that's doing the rebuking, there's something that's going on with this man. Who is this man who hangs next to our Lord? Well, tradition calls him Dismas. We, of course, know him as the good thief. What has he done? Well, we don't know exactly what he's done, but it must have been pretty bad to deserve capital punishment, crucifixion. And he himself said, "Our sentence corresponds to our crime." So we know he did it, whatever it was. But what else do we know about this man? Well, we know he's dying. And I imagine as he's dying, he's reflecting on his life. I imagine he's convicted, wondering what's going to happen, wondering what's going to come out of judgment as heaven and hell run side by side before him. Is it going to be door number one? Is it going to be door number two? But, I mean, let's be serious. With this guy, there was no door number one, and he knew it. And as he looks over at our Lord, what does he see? A sign over his head reading, "King of the Jews." What else does he see? He sees an innocent man bleeding, suffering, and dying. Then he looks down at his own feet, and what does he see? He sees guilt and shame. The sentence we received corresponds with our crimes. He is filled with terror at the thought of what awaits him. But then he looks back. He looks back at Jesus, and what does he see? Does he see a bloody man suffering and dying? No, 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 he doesn't see that. You know what he sees? Now he sees a king. Oh, yeah. Now he sees power. Now he sees glory. So what happened? I mean, let's be serious. This guy is not a follower of Jesus. I mean, maybe he heard about him, maybe he didn't, but he's certainly not following Jesus. But now he's illuminated. He sees a king. He sees a savior. How is that possible? Well, may I suggest to you today that it was the Holy Spirit putting its finger on his heart in this moment. Because no matter how much you think you know about Jesus, Scripture makes it very clear that the only way you're actually going to see him, the only way you're actually going to know him, the only way you're going to actually meet Jesus is when the Holy Spirit reveals him to you. And that's what's going on here. We have been justly condemned, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes. What is that? That's confession. That's contrition. Now watch this. What does he say next? Does he say, hey man, if you get me off this cross, I promise I'll change my wicked ways? No, he doesn't say that. He says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What is that? Repentance. And what does Jesus say? Today. Oh yeah. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus, the lover of guilty souls, says today. It's a word we see throughout the Gospel of Luke. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born unto you. Or when he visited his hometown synagogue. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Or when he met Zacchaeus, what does he say? Today, I must stay at your house. And then later, today, salvation has come to this house. Today, you will be with me in paradise today. And you know, the thing about today is not yesterday. So it's not what you've done. Today is not tomorrow. So it's not what you're going to do. Today is right here, right now. The eternal now. Which, by the way, is where God lives. But the unfortunate reality is that most of us rarely visit the now. Because we're so caught up in our yesterdays or our tomorrows. And God does not live in your yesterdays or tomorrows. He lives in your now. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today, this day, you will be with me in paradise. A sinner is saved. Scripture makes it abundantly clear to us that good works alone can't get us into heaven. So if that's true, that would mean that bad works alone can't keep us out. Because there is nothing outside the love of your Father that cannot be redeemed if we repent. Now, as we close, the devil wants to do a little preaching here. Oh, yeah. Satan always speaks after God speaks. And what does the devil want to say? What message would Satan have for you today? How about this? Relax, my friend. You can put it off. You got time. You don't need salvation today. You can live however you want to live. Carpe diem. And at the very end, you know, you just do a quick repentance and like the good thief, you'll be saved. Careful, my friend. Careful. Do not fall for the trap of the great deceiver. Do not postpone the words, remember me. Let us not be ungrateful because God is kind. Let us not provoke God. Let us not mock Jesus. And let us come to the understanding that we are all thieves hanging on a cross and that we are all sinners. Now, after Jesus died, the good thief continued to hang on that cross until his legs were broken. He continued to suffer, as did the other thief, but there was a big difference between the two. One had been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Even in his suffering, he found a peace. A peace that went beyond all human understanding, while the other remained in his sin and was terrified as he hung. My friends, we are all thieves hanging on a cross. I guess the only question left is, which one are you? Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. My friends, when Jesus remembers you, what secret sin would come to mind? Remember, we are all thieves hanging on a cross. One was forgiven and had peace, heaven bound. The other remained in his sins and was terrified. What about you? Do you find yourself terrified today? Are you looking for peace? Are you looking for healing? Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so will the Son of Man be lifted up, and anyone who looks upon him will be saved. Let us look upon the cross today. Let us allow it to wash us white as snow, our Passover lamb. Let this day be your today. As we whisper, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. Remember, every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.